All right, my sermon for today is Jonah and the prodigal son's brother. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come here today to share your word with your people. Lord, and I pray that each one of them have come to hear your word. Lord, give me the words to speak so that your love would be shared with your people and that they would go outside of these walls and share it with others. Lord, we've talked about the world not having hope. And Lord, I just encourage each and every one of us that are here to share the hope that we have with others that we come in contact with. Lord, I pray that we would truly put our hope in you. We thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for each and every one of them that are here today. And we just pray that you would be given honor and praise through this service, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Sermon, I believe, is a little bit different. I don't know that I've ever heard of Jonah and the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son being put together in a sermon. But almost all of my messages that I share, God shares with me first. And this is one that not only did he share with me, but he convicted me of. So it's a great privilege to bring it and share it as well with you. I'd like to start, not going to read it, but in Luke 15, chapter 15, 11 through 32, it tells the story of the prodigal son. Jesus is telling the parable, and I have to say I love parables because they're easy to understand, they're easy to remember. But the exciting part about these parables that Jesus would share is that there is a physical story there and an application that we can apply it to in our lives. And then there's this much deeper story that he's also sharing that is a spiritual truth that we can apply to our lives. And that's the exciting part about parables, because you can learn it and you can know the story and you can come back to it again, and then all of a sudden God shares something new that you can apply to your spiritual life, and it becomes like an all new story, and it's new excitement. I think we've all heard the prodigal son many times, and I'm sure that we've all heard sermons preached on the prodigal son. Give you a recap here. Basically, there's this man, he has two sons. The younger son wants his portion of his inheritance right now. I have a feeling there was probably a dispute between the son and the father. Probably the father was saying, son, you're going to live under my roof the way I want you to. And the son was probably saying, no, I'm not. Just give me my inheritance and let me go on my way. In Jewish tradition in that time, because of him being the younger son and there was only two, he would receive one third of what the father had. So basically, that's what he was asking for. He was asking for that one third of his father's portion. And after he receives it, he moves away and he wastes all that he has. He loses all of the inheritance. He's down to the point where basically he is just forced to feed pigs. If you know anything of the Jews, that is like the low of the low, because pigs were a disgrace. They were not able to eat them. They were not able to sacrifice them. Pigs were just bad. And the only thing he had for food was the food he was supposed to be feeding to the pigs then yet. And he finally hits rock bottom. And he decides after he hits rock bottom, you know, if I could just be a servant of my father, I would be in so much better shape. And we know this story well. So how does this story in Jonah relate? Well, in Jonah chapter 4, you can turn there, we'll get to that, because Jonah as well is a story that is well known. We know this story as well. We read in Jonah chapter 1 how the word of God comes to Jonah. He's told to go to Nineveh, to warn of judgment that the people are going to receive. But they would also receive mercy and forgiveness if they repented. That's the message that Jonah is supposed to go and share to Nineveh. Nineveh was a great city of Assyria, which is an enemy of the Jews. Kind of sparked my interest. What exactly was this great city doing that God was going to bring judgment upon them? Well, in Jonah, there is nothing said about what they were doing. But if you turn to Naaman 1:9, you'll find out that they had evil plots against God. In Naaman 3, 4, and 5, it talks about their idolatry, prostitution, and witchcraft that was taking place in this great city. This is the judgment that God was going to bring upon them because of these things that they were doing. So Jonah doesn't want to go. He decides to go the other way. And as he flees and tries to run from God, there's this great storm that comes. The sailors are scared. They believe it's caused by some god. They have no idea. They wonder if it's a god they worship, a god, this extra guy they brought upon the ship. They're even to the point that they're scared to even throw him overboard. And finally, they give in and throw him overboard. The big fish comes and swallows Jonah. Finally gets spit out on dry ground. And Jonah finally gives in to the Lord and heads to Nineveh. He's going to give the warning to the people that God wanted Jonah to give them. So his message is that in 40 days you have, and then you will be overthrown. And that's in Jonah 3:4. But the surprising thing is here, these Gentiles, the people actually believe what Jonah is saying. They believe it was God's message, this true God that they did not believe in. They all proclaim to fast. They put on sackcloth. Everyone did this, even the king. The king is that serious that he sends out a decree that all men, beast, herd, flock will have no food or drink. The king takes it very serious about this warning that Jonah has brought to them. And then in Jonah 3:10, this is where I start to link the two stories together. Because here we see that the people of Nineveh change from their ways. They repent, they fast, they put on sackcloth. And 3:10 says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. We see here in these verses, God sees the change in the people's heart. So God changes what he is going to do. In 40 days, he is no longer going to destroy the city. And Jonah, for whatever reason, gets very angry about this. He's like, God, how could you do this? This is exactly why I didn't want to come here, because I knew this was going to happen. These people don't deserve you, is what Jonah is basically saying. They don't deserve you. They're Gentiles. They're not Jews. You are here for us, the Jewish people, the chosen people. I didn't want to come here because I knew you'd be gracious and merciful, slow to anger, with great kindness. I knew you would do all these things. And that's why I didn't want to come to these people. They don't deserve you. Why don't you just let them die and judge them for it? Jonah wasn't concerned about any of those things. He was happy that he had God and that he was slow to anger for him, and that he showed him mercy and graciousness, had great kindness for Jonah, but he sure didn't want to share that grace with anybody else. He just wanted to keep it for himself and for the other Jews. The Gentiles weren't good enough for that. Now let's switch back to the prodigal son. And how do these two stories relate? In Luke chapter 15, verse 24, it says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. This is where the spiritual part really kicks in. Here's the father. He says, "My son was dead, and now he's alive again. My son was lost, but he's found." He's not talking about being physically dead. We're talking about people that are dead to sin and can be made alive again through Jesus Christ. "My son was lost. He's gone. Who knows where he is? But yet now he is found." It was a great and exciting thing to have a party about, a celebration, because he's alive again and he's found. Just like the people of Nineveh, this prodigal son was dead, and so were they. But after Jonah went to Nineveh and shared God's word, they became alive again because they repented of what they were doing. They were wandering around lost, but now they have been found. And here gets to the part of the older son. In Luke chapter 15, 28 to 32. "And he was angry." Pretty similar to Jonah. Jonah was angry. So is the older son. "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this is thy brother was dead and is live again, and was lost and is found.'" The other son was in the same attitude as Jonah had. He didn't care one bit about his brother being lost. How many of us Christians are the same way, that we aren't concerned about the lost of this world? They might not be our physical brother or our physical sister, but they should be our spiritual brothers and sisters. The older brother was never concerned about him. He basically had the attitude that, you know what? That younger brother of mine, he can just reap what he sowed. It's his choice. He made those choices. He took what he had and he went and made those choices. You know what? So he just deserves what he gets. How many times as us as Christians do we see that? Where somebody was raised up in the church and they decide to make their choices and go astray, and we say, you know what, they deserve that. They know better. They know to make the right choices, but yet they haven't, so they're going to reap what they sowed. I'm not going after them. They're dead to me. It doesn't matter. And that's exactly the attitude that this older brother had. He didn't care where his little brother had went. He didn't have love for him to be concerned to track him down and bring him back to his father. I'm pretty sure he knew from what's said there, he knew what his brother was up to and that he was going down the wrong path. But he felt offended because he thought he was missing out. He felt that I stayed faithful to you, and what did I get out of it? Each one of us have gotten so much more out of God than any of us deserve. Just the fact of someday us entering into heaven is more than any of us deserve. And sometimes we take those things for granted, I believe, as Christians growing up in a Christian home. And we think, just like Jonah, that God came just for me and not the rest of the world. He thought that he came just for the Jews, and the Messiah was going to come for the Jews and not the Gentiles. That God only loved the Jews. No, the Jews were supposed to be a light on the top of the hill to lead the rest of the world to God, not to keep God for themselves. God's plan has always been that he loved everybody. It was never just the Jews. But Christians, we can't be like Jonah or the older brother. The older brother was never concerned about his brother being lost. What lost people that we see around us are we not concerned about? We all come in contact with people that are lost, hopeless, and going straight to hell. And where is our concern? Are we willing to share what we have with those other people? Or are we like Jonah when God calls us and he says, I want you to go and share with that person. And you say, oh no, God, I'm going this way. I'm not going to that person. Because Jonah was really saying, I don't care about that person. And how many people have we walked by that God challenged us to go and share his word with them, or an uplifting comment, and we decided, no, God, I'm not going to. I'm too shy. I'm too backwards. I don't have the right words to say. What if they ask me something I can't answer? And we keep going on our way and not concerned about the lost. We're exactly like Jonah and the older brother. We have lost our concern for the lost and dying. We can't just accept God's forgiveness for ourselves and not want to express it to others. It is the greatest thing we have to share with anybody is God's forgiveness and his hope that he gives us. There is no other hope in this world. All other things will let you down. Who is God calling you to go and share God's word with? Is God calling you to go to Nineveh, where it's people that you don't want to talk to? Or is God calling you to go and seek your brother that is lost, that has turned away from God's word and has gone somewhere else? God is calling you to speak and share his love with other people. He's not just calling for Sunday school teachers and pastors to do it. He is calling for all believers. And in closing, the last verses I'd like to read is in Matthew 9, 36 to 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You can look around you and you can see the laborers are few. And I believe there is a greater work of plenty right now. There is a greater harvest that is just waiting to be harvested than I have ever seen before in my life. And I also believe that the laborers are fewer than ever before. I truly believe that our faith has been put to the test. Inside these walls and outside of these walls. It's not only what we choose to do on Sunday morning. It's what we choose to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday as well. This here should just be an opportunity to fill us up. That we take what we got here out into the rest of the world. It's not hope just for us. Jesus came that none should perish. And that should be our goal as well, that none would perish. And I know each and every one of us have loved ones. We have neighbors. We have coworkers that are lost. And are we willing to go? Because God's calling you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this message as you had laid it on my heart. Lord, you convicted me of it in my own life first. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of them that are here today. Lord, I pray that it would be an encouragement, that it would not discourage them for maybe missed opportunities that they have had in their lives so far. But Lord, that it would encourage them from this day forward, that they would be concerned about their lost brothers and sisters, neighbors and friends. And Lord, maybe you're calling some of us to go to a completely different city or state or country. And Lord, I pray that we would pick up and follow and go exactly where you want us to go. We talked about your word being direction, being a roadmap for us, Lord. And I just ask that you would lead and guide each and every one of us because we have a specific purpose that you have desired for us. And Lord, I pray as we leave this place that you would keep us safe, Lord. We pray for each and every one of us that are here today and for the ones that are not here as well, Lord. We just pray that you would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.